Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret, your host, and I apologize for a slight delay. I'm usually on time, but this evening we are having a little technical difficulty. But we're live and on the air, and I want to welcome my co-host, Donna. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I'm looking forward. Now this is
backyard.
Well, thank you. And this is the last of the islands, or do we have more?
Oh, it's the last of the parishes.
Okay, get that right.
Parish. We're at the end of our fantastic tour.
Wow, what
and
a great
I see
tour!
That my loyal listener from the Bronx, home of the Yankees. I think it's him, 631. Would you raise your hand if you would like to interact with us in the backyard? Grab your chair and just, I hope you've been jiving to the music. We had a little delay, and I hope it gave you a chance to unwind and relax. Perhaps you could just take a cocktail. I won't even talk about taking the kind of drinks that the men would perhaps be having in Jamaica. Donna, we're talking about it a little, you know, just a little whiff of that will sort of put you in the mood. And it's referred to in Jamaica as the whites, and we're talking about liquor. But anyway, just grab something to relax you, and welcome to the backyard. And if any of our callers would like to talk with us, just dial 1 on your keyboard. And for the listeners listening online, if you want to interact with us, you'll have to call us at 1-718-766-4558 and join the Labrish. So I want to welcome everybody. And Donna, did you have a great week?
Oh, yes, I've had a wonderful week. Thank you.
Okay, well, I noticed in listening to the recording we did last week that at a few times I referred to St. Elizabeth that I was discussing as Westmoreland, and I want to apologize if I might have confused some of my listeners, that I hope the listeners that come when we're later on will listen to both last week's show and this week's show, because I was so anxious and excited about talking about Westmoreland, because, you know, Donna, that's just the only parish that I spent a lot of time in, because my mother was born in Westmoreland. As a matter of fact, I think my father was born in Kingston. But I used to love, in Jamaica we said I would be a Kingstonian, and that is like city, you know, not really country. And I am a real country girl at heart, so I used to love going to the country. And my mother was taking me, you know, I spent quite a lot of time there when I was very small, as well as, you know, I would go back, even after I grew up, you know, until I left Jamaica, I would look forward to going down for summertime and whatever other time that, you know, my aunt would have me in the country. And that was Savlamar. And Savlamar is the capital of Westmoreland. So I was so excited about getting to Westmoreland, is my point, that I kept referring to some of the times when I spoke about St. Elizabeth last week as Westmoreland, and I never realized it until I listened to the show yesterday. So it's interesting, Donna, because this is the only parish that was named after some governor or some special person, you know, from the English occupation. It's interesting, they say this particular parish was possibly named because it's the most western on the island. You know, it's right at the tip. So it's the west, it's the most west. So they're assuming that that is why it was called Westmoreland. And it is south of the island, if you were able to see on the map. And although, you know, it has all these beautiful beaches in one particular city, which we'll talk more about, which is a big tourist town, it had beautiful white beaches. Now, Donna, you have never been there, but on the other side of the island, there are parts of the sea coast that is not white sand in Jamaica. You know, it's people believe that perhaps all of the island have white sands, but not really. Did you know that? Donna, are you there?
No, I didn't. I know that my understanding that there's like, you know, a lot of beach area, but I didn't know that.
Yes. Well, the whole, you know, being an island is surrounded by the Caribbean Sea, but it's not all parts of the island that the color of the sand is the same.
Oh.
And Montego Bay, especially, and Otoreas and those places are referred to as the North Coast. But Westmoreland is actually the south side of the island, but it does have beautiful beaches too. So it is situated to the south of Hanover and southwest of St. James and northwest of St. Elizabeth, which we discussed last week. And it's in the county of Cornwall. Now, the chief town and capital is Savannah-la-Mar. That's how it's spelt. And, you know, people, it's referred to now as Savlamar. In other words, the real spelling is Savannah-la-Mar. But all the years that I grew up there, we just call it Savlamar, which would be Savannah-la-Mar, just for short. And, of course, the people who go back and forth and fondly call it Sav. You know, you're from Sav, for short. So that's, I don't know if a lot of Jamaicans know that. But as I mentioned before, Donna, you know, people, although we're a small island, that was the only parish that I went to and stayed and visited and, you know. And the town I stayed in was the capital, which is Savlamar. And it was almost like a little city. But to me, it was still the country. And I would say that most of Westmoreland that I knew is not as country as some of the other places that I visited. Because, you know, it's not a lot of interior that I was able to go to that had a lot of mountains and plantations and that kind of thing. So I'm very excited to talk about Westmoreland, and especially Savlamar, because it means so much to me. And I see that we have several callers on the board. 631-816, is that our loyal listener from the Bronx? If it is, please raise your hand. We have a caller from 516 and 646 and a few other numbers. So I want to welcome you all to the backyard. This evening we're talking about Westmoreland. It's our last parish on our island tour, and I don't know for anybody else, but I've just enjoyed finding out all these neat little things about each individual parish. So let me go back to my Wikipedia notes here. I always like to quote from Wikipedia and then go to the Encyclopedia of Jamaica by Miss Senior. But it says here that Christopher Columbus stopped at Westmoreland on his second voyage when he landed in Jamaica. One of the first Spanish settlements was also built in Bluefields. Now, I remember Bluefields as the place we went to for, you know, for the beach. You know, the Savlamar itself was a port. So there was no beach, really, that you could really... There was, but not as pretty as it was in Bluefields, where you had a lot of sand. Part of what makes a beach very attractive to the natives, I'm sure to the tourists too, Donna, is that you're able to go, you know, walk out, wade out in the water, and it's not deep, you know, and you're not liable to step off into a deep incline. So if you're not a swimmer, you can really get into the water and get it up to you to a certain level and still be comfortable. And another thing about the beaches there along that coast is that the water is mostly always warm and clear. You know, you can see to the bottom most times. So Bluefields was, I did not realize that it was a Spanish settlement. So it was sort of old and it was developed from way back. And I suppose just because of, you know, how the whole island is shaped, different areas are going to be have more beach and perhaps more flat lands than other parts of the island. Remember when we talked about Lover's Leap in St. Elizabeth? The water came right up to that cliff. You know, there was absolutely no beach where that particular place is. You can look in the ocean and there's a beautiful view, but no beach. Anyway, the parish was named Westmoreland in 1703 because it was the most westerly point in the island. Savlamar, its town, is by the coast, and it became the capital in 1730. Now, in 1938, riots at Frome, which was the big sugar estate, and I think it's still operating, but that particular riot in 1938 changed the course of Jamaica's history. The changes that came in the wake of these riots led to universal suffrage. So here again, it's interesting how each parish played a special part in the development of Jamaica, you know. Every parish has something special about it. Anyway, it's interesting because Westmoreland originally had a very large area, making it it's Jamaica's eighth largest parish. But remember I mentioned last week that it was even larger, but portions of it was taken away to form St. Elizabeth. But right now it has a population of about 141,000, and it's made up, a large percentage of that is made up of Indians, who are the descendants of the indentured laborers who came to work from India, after slavery. Now, the descendants are known locally in the parish as the Indy Royals because of their mixed East Indian and African heritage. I thought that was quite interesting. And I remember as a child when I used to go up there, you know, one of my relatives, I was hoping they'd be able to call in tonight. Their parents had a big property. I remember it was called Grotto. And I think it might have been one of these old plantation houses. But the area had, you know, swampland or places where the Indians would grow rice. And I remember that distinctly. So it's interesting to know that there was a, you know, most, I think Westmoreland had more Indians because of the sugar estate there than any of the other parishes. Now, there are over 10,000 acres of morass land. I think that is conducive to growing rice too. Perhaps that is why the Indians could grow the food they were accustomed to. It's the largest part of which is the largest part of the this morass land. 10,000 acres is a lot of place, property. It's called the Great Morass. Now, this contains plant and animal material collected over centuries. The morass can be mixed as peat, an excellent source of energy, and it also serves as a natural sanctuary for Jamaican wildlife. Now, the remaining areas consist of several hills of moderate elevation and a coastal plain. That's what I mentioned. You know, we don't really have a lot of mountains. I don't remember any, anyhow, in that particular part of the island. Now, there are numerous rivers in the parish. The Cabarita River, which is over 39 kilometers long, drains into the Georges Plain, which is a area that a lot of people from Westmoreland will know and can relate to. And that particular, it can accommodate boats weighing up to 8 tons, which I suppose is a lot. And if some of our listeners remember, when we discussed Falmouth one of the things were that it was a big port, and they used to do logging and different things way back when. But as soon as things change and the trade change, then that was not important anymore. Well, I remember even when I visited Sablemar, Westmoreland in Sablemar, that the port was a very important part because the boats docked there to load the sugar from the Frome estate. Now, let's get back to the documentation here. I have so many memories that I'm intertwining it into or interwining it into the real stories from the professional people. I see 676479 has a raised hand, so I'm going to open the mic. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who am I speaking with?
Hi there.
Hi. Oh, my loyal listener. Shall I introduce you? Armstrong's, home of the Yankees.
The New York Yankees.
Excuse me, the New York Yankees. Just not any old Yankees.
And the home of soon to be approved Sotomayor.
Oh,
excuse me.
You know who that is?
Are we pulling
of
out?
Of course, she's the court judge.
Yes.
You know, I might not be as astute as you, but I do listen to the news sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I
was listening to you mentioning Bluefield. That's where my my mother's parents were from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where we went to the beach all the time, you know, from Sablemar. As a matter of fact, we used to ride our bicycles.
Yeah.
I don't remember how far away it was from Sablemar, but I remember that, you know, my Aunt Lola, who lived all our life, most of our life, in Sablemar, where she was born and raised. She would be the person I would go to visit from Kingston, and I am the eldest of my generation, and my mother was the eldest of her generation. So whenever I went down for holidays, you know, everybody would have their bicycles, and there would be a bicycle there for me. And then we would ride to Bluefield for the day or something. And I think sometimes we went on another mode of transportation. And ladies and gentlemen, for those who might not be regulars in the backyard, Margaret is a senior. So I'm talking about 1940 and, you know, that back way back in the days. Right, Mr. Lay?
Well, in the 40s, like 1944, was the universal suffrage in Jamaica. That's significant around that time, and it all came out of those Frome riots that you mentioned in 1938.
Right.
So, putting that in perspective, that was this a sort of a springboard for two of our heroes.
Political thrust. Yeah.
That's right, and led right into the independence.
But yeah. I was mentioning before how it's interesting as we went through the history of each parish, how every parish is unique in contributing something, you know, to the development, whether it was politically or, you know, in some other way.
Yeah.
And I hope that some of the listeners are enjoying finding out these things or piecing them together as much as I have.
Maybe you have a listener from that location that wants to...
Well, I'm hoping that I do, because last week we were blessed to have someone who grew up in St. Elizabeth. And
yeah.
I'm asking our listeners, and the board is quite lit up. There are several listeners online, to just hit one on your keyboard, even if you're not from Westmoreland, but you do have a story or some memories or some information, or you need to correct me because, you know, I'm never politically correct. As I say, here in the backyard, we just gather to reminisce and to celebrate our heritage, because I, for one, and I'm getting quite a few of the listeners that tell me that they enjoy, you know, talking about the way it was when we grew up. And now I'm going even further back when, it, you know, before we even came into being. So it's quite exciting. So I see we have another caller from 905-4200 who would like to join the Labrish. So I'm opening up the mic. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Margaret. You're speaking with Carol.
Oh, hi. Welcome, Carol. I was just talking about.
Since you mentioned that you visited us at Grotto.
Yes. Well, welcome to the backyard.
Okay.
I have been so much looking forward to discussing Westmoreland because that's the fondest memories I have in my growing up. Because, you know, although I was born and raised in Kingston, you know, I spent so much time in Savlemar.
Yes, and I gathered you also spent some time visiting Grotto.
Oh, yes.
You know, I have a lot of fond memories.
All right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Carol, but I remember when I came to your estate in Grotto. I call it an estate because it was so beautiful. I remember it in my mind. I remember the cows, and I remember the – didn't you have Indians on that property?
Yeah, we had a lot of Indians who were working for us, with us. And,
Was there a rice something going on someplace?
There was a, I beg your pardon?
Was there rice being planted someplace on the property?
Oh, yes. We
oh,
grew
see,
around.
I'm not so bad because I was very young when I came there.
Yes, and that's why it looked like an estate to you because now in looking back, it was just a small farm. But
well, it's just like I thought that
the eyes of a child, it looked like an estate.
Right.
Yeah.
And the street, Great George Street, to me, was the biggest street in the world.
Well, at the time, I think it was probably one of the widest ones in the island.
Mm.
But I think it was about a mile long, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But we certainly grew rice, and we grew sugar cane.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had cattle and pigs and, you know,
yes, I remember
and chickens
it well.
And so on and
I
so
remember
forth.
It well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you know some of, I've sort of researched and found some interesting information, and please feel free to, you know, interrupt me as I ramble about some of the things that I've discovered.
Okay.
But I just wanted to tell our listeners, and we have listeners that may not have even visited Jamaica.
Yeah.
But they're just interested in the culture and interested in the history.
Right.
So I'm going to say here that the some of these names, you know, I can really remember, like I mentioned Bluefield before and Bowden and Smithfield.
Right.
And Morgan's, and there's something called Gut. Is that a city, G-U-T? Do you remember that?
Well, a little, I think there was a little village. I don't remember that one because, you know, I kind of left and went to boarding school in Kingston when I was seven. And then
Where
I was there for some years and then later on went on to school in Brownstown.
Mm-hmm.
So spent, you know, my very early years in Savalamar and the rest of the time really the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's when I used to meet up with you.
And that's when we used to meet. But I don't know if you realize that you spoke about the wharf from where the sugarcane was shipped. But I don't know if you realized, and if you had read our family tree, that one of your ancestors, the wharf, which is called Jones Wharf, and it was named, owned by one of your ancestors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. No, I don't have that history. You know, a lot of that history is not really recorded.
No, it's not recorded, but, you know, I'd been doing some research and, you know,
Tell me about what was his or her, it's obviously his connection to the wharf.
He owned it. He was an Englishman who came to Jamaica and, of course, spread joy, so he was our great-grandmother's father. I guess he had
a wife. You're talking about Granny Lou.
Yeah, yes, Granny
Lou's
father.
Okay.
Yeah. But, he had other children who were Caucasians and, of course, you know, a set of children who were not. But he owned Jones Wharf. It was named after him, or he named it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it mentioned here Robbins is one of the cities, and Roaring.
Roaring.
And,
Yeah.
I'm sorry, these are the rivers I'm naming.
Roaring River.
Yes,
I didn't know
we had so many rivers there.
Oh, there were a lot of rivers, a lot of streams. There was even a stream running through Grotto.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we used to go there and catch,
crayfish.
Crayfish, yes.
And another one called Godamy.
Yes, I remember that.
Which had
that.
Tons and tons and tons of bones.
I remember.
And, of course, you know, after the May rains, we used to catch the land crabs.
Right.
You know, go down into the marsh area and catch the land crabs.
Now, a question, Carol. Was there a place called Banbury?
Yeah.
What did you say, Leigh? What's the name?
Banbury.
Banbury,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, I remember the names, but, you know, a lot of these villages we sort of passed through in going from A to B, you know.
What I read about Banbury is that it was the capital before Savalamar.
I wasn't aware of that.
Right, so that came after Savalamar came.
When the Spanish had it, it had another capital, so that might be what.
That might be it.
Yeah.
I just never knew that, so yeah. I just wondered.
Well, unfortunately, when we were at school in Jamaica, we did very little sort of Jamaican or Caribbean history. We were well up on British and European history.
Well, isn't that something? We had, at my school in Kingston, we had a very good teacher of local geography and history.
Yeah.
And what this series has done for me, congratulations to Margaret, is that it brought back, and put in perspective a lot of the things that were taught to us at St. George's.
Right.
A lot of the schools did not go into detail on local history.
Well, what's interesting also is that a lot of the teachers, certainly at the school I went to, were from England.
Yeah, mine were from America.
Yeah.
So what do they know about it?
Except
that Mr. Chaplin was my geography and history teacher. and he was Jamaican.
Okay.
Oh,
I was,
that's a big difference.
I was lucky.
Yeah.
All right. And not only that, I think if a teacher has a passion for history, it makes, and geography, it makes a difference.
Well, the thing is that all our studies were geared towards taking the senior Cambridge or
school exams.
And they were, you know, we followed the British curriculum.
And European history.
And European history. I know all about Hohenzollern, Sigmaringen, and, you know, whatever happened in Europe, and didn't know much about what happened in Jamaica.
That's why I've been so excited about doing this research.
Yeah, but one of the things which, you know, a lot of people might not know, in fact, is that Manning School was probably the oldest high school in Jamaica.
Really?
If not in the Caribbean. Manning's, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. About 15 or 20 years ago, they celebrated their 300th anniversary.
Well, you got us beat by 100 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We celebrated our bicentennial already.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to read you a little bit about what I'm reading. I got a gift for my birthday from one of my nieces in Jamaica, which is the Encyclopedia of Jamaica Heritage by Oliver Senior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She has a couple other publications. However, you know, it's very thorough, and it's, you know, she has everything is verified. But in her report on Westmoreland, she said when the West Indian Sugar Company built Frome Central Sugar Factory in 1939, I thought it was older than that, Wisco as we know it. It also built out many small antiquated plantation factory. It also built out many small antiquated plantation factory combines, which in the 18th century had provided the foundation of the huge fortunes of English families such as the Beckfords and the Vassals.
You know, I know. I meant to ask you about that name, Madge, because don't you have a cousin by the name of Vassal?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I don't know what part of the island he's from.
Well, my notes here say 1678 in St. Elizabeth, John Vassal was as we would call a big shot there, married Sarah Vassal, and they had an extended family by the name of Cartwright. But later on, this Vassal, one of the sons, I would imagine, became a major in Jamaica and was very instrumental in setting up, a manor of sorts in St. Elizabeth.
I see.
So I don't know if your cousins are a derivative of this family.
Well, I know one of the daughters is doing something similar to what, you're doing. By the way, Carol, you didn't tell. Will you tell our listeners where you're calling from?
Where I come from.
Where I'm calling from.
Oh, I'm calling from Canada, just east of Toronto.
Oh, so we have a Canadian on tonight talking about Westmoreland. Last week we had some, our guest speaker was from Florida, South Florida.
Yeah, so this
is quite interesting. Excuse me,
Madge, you may have a 516 from, that's a Florida a person down there listening.
I have a 516244, and I'd like
she wanted you to know that it's your friend.
Okay, all righty. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to the backyard. I hope you're just cuddling in your favorite chair and feeling the trade winds blow softly across your cheeks. And perhaps, is it mango time? Would you be eating a mango by any chance, or just sipping some Tia Maria or something exotic? Anyway, let me just tell you a little bit now about this Vattel thingy. It said here, the best known member of the Vassal family, and it's spelled V-A-S-S-A-L-L, Vassal, I suppose, was Elizabeth, Lady Holland, a famous hostess of Regency London, who was born in Jamaica in, listen to this, 1770. And inherited.
I have 1778 for that.
That she was born?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. You know, no, let me not dispute that. It might very well be 1770, but in 1770, is they named St. Elizabeth after her.
I got you. Anyway, she inherited several estates, including Friendship in Westmoreland, though she never returned to the island. She was born in Jamaica, but apparently went back to England. Now, other historical figures associated with this rich sugar belt included Matthew Gregory, and in parenthesis, Monk Lewis, who owned Cornwall, one of the properties later.
All of these names, were names of sort of satellite farms for West India Sugar Company.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah?
There was, in my notes also, I have an Anna Lewis, whose father was John Lewis, and they were prominent in the area along the lines you're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and keep the conversation going. I think we might have had a little technical difficulty with Miss Margaret dropping off, but she'll be back on shortly.
Oh, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
You're back.
Good. Yeah, I'm on my cell because I dialed in early and you guys were late, were you?
Yeah, I think that Miss Margaret's actually over at her son's house, so she had to get on his computer, so it was a little... It's a different type of computer, so there's a little technical difficulty there, but yeah. But I had a question for you. One of the things that I noticed that was a little bit different from this parish than other ones is that they talk extensively about a coat of arms, and I didn't really notice a coat of arms with the other parishes, and I was wondering, you know, I know I've heard, you know, particular people as they're, you know, researching their ancestry and all of that, that there might be a coat of arms involved with it. Do you know much about that, the coat of arms process, and why this parish has one and others don't?
No, not specifically. I just know that the coat of arms of Jamaica, I know what it looks like. And the subcaption, of course, is one out of many. And that's like the official coat of arms of Jamaica. In fact, I was in Florence, Italy, and was most surprised that I went up to this, this place that does glass works, and they had a set of glasses, drinking glasses. Of course, these drinking glasses are really not functional. You put them in your china closet and show them off with the Jamaica coat of arms. And I was most surprised at that. And now I'm sorry I didn't buy one, at least, you know. But to answer your question, it's the first time I'm hearing that, individual... parishes
had arms of Westmoreland County.
Yeah.
And it has its own particular arms, and it kind of talks a little bit about it. But I was saying, did I miss something? Because I didn't remember seeing them for the other parishes themselves.
Right.
And it talks about, that they were granted a coat of arms by the College of Arms in 1926. and the design of the shield refers to components of the county.
Yeah.
No,
well,
the only thing
I could think of, and this is just speculation, is that a prominent family in a certain parish may have traced their ancestors and had their own coat of arms,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and sort of made it the official coat of arms of their territory or whatever it is.
It's about the Lancaster family, barons of Kendal.
Ah, yeah. Well, this sort of is a little bit in line with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Kendal is a the only thing I know about Kendal. It's a big when we had a railway.
Yeah.
They had a stop at Kendal.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a huge market in Kendal when I was a youngster. My father's mother's brother, he would take produce from his farm to Kendal on like either early Saturday morning or late Friday night to market. You know, you would sell it to the retailers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I know about Kendal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that area as well as I do the other side of the island, the north side. Even though my father's people are from Negril, and my mother's people are from Bluefields in Westmoreland. But I don't know anything about the area per se. I mean, I never lived there.
Yeah. Actually, that's interesting because, as Madge mentioned, we used to...
you're back, Carol.
Yeah, bicycle out to Bluefields just for sea bathing. But we, as children in our family and our friends, we went further because Bluefields, I think, was about 12 miles from Savlamar.
Oh.
And Negril was about 18 miles from Savlamar, and we used to bike out there basically because our grandfather came from that area. It was all sort of mangrove swamp and mosquitoes and sandflies and, you know, but the beach was just marvelous, but you made sure that you started back home long before sunset.
That's interesting, Carol. My grandfather
and myself.
And my father's side.
I was making up stories.
Yeah.
Are you there, Leigh?
Yes, I was just making a comment about Negril.
Yeah. What was your grandfather's name?
Nunez.
Oh, okay. Because mine was Waldemar.
Okay.
And
the next door neighbor to the Nunezes was the Arthurs. And till this day, you could find Arthur's Beach if you want to get a...
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that was right next door to my grandparents' property.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. She said something that was kind of interesting. She said sea bathing. This term I've not heard before. Is that...
Really?
Is that like just generally you're just swimming out there or...
Yeah, we're just swimming. We always talked about it in terms of going for a sea bath.
Sea bath,
sea bath.
You know, and
how would you say, Donna?
Yeah.
Well, when you say bathe here in America, they're thinking of soap and water and shower,
yeah.
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
or a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a tub.
Yeah.
So, but we say we're going for a sea bath, Donna.
Yeah.
That's what in the old days. That's what we say.
Yeah, but technically
we
weren't. We weren't swimmers, so we didn't go swimming.
We went for a bath
in salt water, and one of the memories of my childhood was Boxing Day. My father owned a truck because we had a farm, that many families, we would get in the back of the trucks and take a picnic and go to the beach for a Boxing Day picnic.
Yeah.
You know, and that was almost sort of traditional in the country parts where we were from.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give you some history of back in the day with Bluefields. And again, for callers who want to interact with us, hit 1 on your telephone, and you're listening to Backyard Average on Blog Talk Radio. And this week we're celebrating Westmoreland, which is the final stop on our Discover Jamaica, one parish at a time. Now, the fishing village in Westmoreland Parish, which is Bluefields we're talking about, this was the site of Ariston, A-R-I-S-T-A-N, one of the three principal towns founded by the Spanish settlers in Jamaica. It was named after a town in Sandaria, then under Spanish rule. The settlers had first established this particular place in St. Elizabeth. It was part of St. Elizabeth. Remember, we mentioned that last week. Mm-hmm. And then they said, whatever, that it was a Spanish town at the time, then they relocated it in Bluefields. And I don't know, Carol, if you remember any historic buildings in Bluefields, because apparently it was well developed way back in the days.
Yeah, and it was developed as a fishing village, but there were also a couple of great houses.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, which were on the hills just sort of overlooking the beach of Bluefields.
Right.
And, you know, great houses with large properties. And I can remember one family having peacocks and peahens.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
My mother
and
got a pair
hens.
Of, but, you
and
know, we
hens.
Had some
mm-hmm.
as well. But they were a well-known family. And, in fact, I think certainly after I left Jamaica, they discovered some beautiful falls near that area. I'm not sure whether it straddles the border between Westmoreland and St. Elizabeth, but it's called Wyeth Falls,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of becoming quite a tourist attraction now.
Wow.
And yeah, but Bluefields, I think, has a couple of very interesting great houses.
Right. Well, that's because it went back. It was an important area way back from the Spanish occupied the island.
Yeah, but
and they said that the beautiful Bluefields Bay is connected with many naval exploits. Since it was for a long time a rendezvous for ships sailing in convoy to England and elsewhere.
Okay.
It was from Bluefields Bay that the buccaneer Henry Morgan sailed in December of 1670 to sack the city of Panama. Some associated the
scoundrel.
Name... Excuse me?
The scoundrel.
Yeah, that's
well,
what we stuck it to them.
he was a great man to the English, but not to people in our neck of the woods.
Well, not to the
right.
Spaniards, yeah.
No, it's one of them people that gave the name to Bluefields. Anyway, the old Bluefields house is associated with the inventor of the marine aquarium, Philip Henry Goose, this is that man we spoke to about again, an English naturalist who stayed in Jamaica for 18 months in 1844 to 1845.
Yeah.
Now, he gathered samples of the flora and, you know, the different things, material, for two charming books, here again, on the island's natural history. The first one was published in 1851. And the name of that is Naturalist Sojourn in Jamaica. And The Birds of Jamaica was published in 1847. As a matter of fact, he published three books. He had Illustrations of the Birds of Jamaica, and that was published in 1849. Now, an edition combining excerpts from all three books was published by the Institute of Jamaica Publications as Goose's Jamaica. That particular book by the Jamaica Institute was published in 1984.
Madge, I was just gonna say, friends of mine still go down to that area for bird shooting. You know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big sport.
So it must be rich with birds.
Yes, I mean, it's a sanctuary with the kind of terrain that you described earlier.
Now I'm going to go to Negril because it was interesting because in this encyclopedia it mentions about that area of Negril being important even in the American War. Okay, the area known as Negril extends from Half Moon Bay in Hanover Parish to Negril Lighthouse in Westmoreland Parish. It contains at least 8 kilometers of white beach, which we know as 7 acres, right?
Yeah.
Of white beaches.
7 mile beach.
7 miles, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And is known, White Sands, and is one of Jamaica's leading tourist resorts. Now, Negril Harbor was once known as Bloody Bay, probably from the fact that whales were butchered there. I don't even know we had whales anywhere near Jamaica. It was also in this bay that British ships assembled in convoys to travel under the protection of men of war to England. British ships were also in the habit of lying in wait in the mangrove swamps here to attack any Spanish ships that strayed too far off course on their way to Havana, Cuba. The bay is associated with certain notable battles, including the Battle of New Orleans. During the American War of Independence, it was in Negril Harbor that a fleet of 50 British warships and over 6,000 men secretly assembled in 1814 under the leadership of Sir Edward Packenham, with the objective of seizing Louisiana. Isn't that interesting? The outcome was the Battle of New Orleans, where the British were routed by Andrew Jackson, and their leader was slain. There is a local tradition that the American general was alerted about the attack by an American trader in Kingston. Among the soldiers on this engagement were 1,000 men from the 1st and 4th West Indian Regiments.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, May?
No.
That we had people from Jamaica involved in the American War. Some of those people were born there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget we were British West Indies, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were born in Jamaica.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if the British forces that were waiting in Negril were not sort of decimated by malaria.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those swamps were notorious
yes.
for mosquitoes. And
well, last week I mentioned about the mosquitoes in Black River.
Mm. Okay, I didn't tune in last week.
Right.
Unbelievable. My skin is crawling now when I saw those mosquitoes.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me just say a little bit about Negril now because it has so much history. You know, we just think about it as 7 miles of beautiful beach.
Yeah.
It was on Negril Beach, too, that the famous British Admiral Benbow assembled his squadron for his engagement against the French Admiral Ducasse in 1702, another famous thing about Negril Beach in the old days was the notorious pirate Calico Jack. You remember there were stories of him. He was a mean one. But here again, I have to say how each part of the island just played an important, you know, had something very special about it, in not only the development of the island itself, the progress we made up to independence, but also contributing several important things to the entire world. Because here it is now that it played an important part in the American War. I found that quite interesting. And I suppose even before that, you know, the Spanish War against the French in 1702. But the history of everything just sort of intrigues me, because a lot of things that were done in those days, you know, you can relate to similar things happening now. Anyway, are you familiar with the Lighthouse Carol in Negril?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where my grandfather lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Negril Point.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the extreme west of the island.
Yeah.
They said the concrete tower is 20, well, M, what is that? In above the ground, and the light is elevated 30 m above sea level. The lighthouse has an automatic white light that flashes every 2 seconds. Is it still in operation?
Well, I don't know.
I haven't been to Negril for years.
You know, that probably would be one of those places that's preserved. What they call?
Hopefully,
historical building.
On the list.
Yeah.
It's like a promontory that would be
very
important, you know, to sailors even now.
Yeah.
But do you know it was built in 1894 by the French engineering firm of Barrier and Barrier. You know, it's interesting how when things are built on solid rock, solid material, they can last.
But, you know, we think of Negril as a tourist area now, but it was even our time that the hotels kept badgering what was left of the owners, the landowners, to acquire the land to build these hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So it in the early 50s or mid 50s is when the hotels started to sprout up, and the same man, Arthur's, was one of the ones that held out. He would not sell to these Americans.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it's really not that long ago that the area was sort of mangrove and bush.
Yeah, but despite that, it was a vibrant community there.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I think they had, I'm not sure what sort of people were involved with. I think coconuts was one of the things.
That's true, but they took me up in the hills, not in the hills, they were right along the coast. There wasn't that hilly. They took me onto some plantations, and there were a lot of, what's that thing that the Indians use with curry? Turmeric.
Turmeric.
That was the first time I realized what it was, you know.
A
tuber.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
it's interesting because, you know, that is important for the Indians' recipes.
Yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't really theirs, you know. They were planting the fields, but it was the owners, the plantation owners that ran these fields.
Yeah,
but when you think of the Africans that were sent up to Halifax and from Jamaica, they couldn't plant their ground provisions. So they were feeling quite sorry for themselves, I'm sure.
Funny, so I should bring that up.
My point here is if the Indians were able to plant, and I'm sure perhaps use some of the things that was native to them, it was more comfortable. You know what I'm trying to say?
Funny you should bring that up, Juba. The Maroons that went up to Halifax. It wasn't such a humanitarian thing that the English did to send them up there. They wanted to get rid of them.
They were making too much trouble.
Yeah, but the thing is that when they got to Halifax, we went to a museum there, and when we got to when we went to the museum, it's the first time I realized that Maroons had been sent to Halifax.
Yeah,
but they were then shipped out to Sierra Leone because they were so troublesome.
Exactly.
But all of them didn't go. All of them didn't go according to the, you know, the history things. Like some of them stayed.
Yeah.
Well, they they probably jumped ship, but the majority of them went to Sierra Leone, and they didn't like it over there, and came back to Jamaica. And some of them didn't like it in Nova Scotia because it was too cold. So they found a way back anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just like I'm sure a lot of the Canadians, it was hard to leave a warm country, a country that's warm all the time, and some of them were born there, and go to a place as cold as Halifax and expect them to walk. You know, in the cold climate. Yeah. So I'm sure there's quite a lot of hardships. But, you know, I found something very interesting about Sablamar, Carol, I wanted to share. You know, my mother was born in 1912. That was the year my mother was born. And I didn't realize that, and she was born in Sablamar.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Sablamar had a devastating hurricane that same year. Sablamar had been almost completely destroyed by natural disasters many times in its history. And old-timers used to recall an incident from the hurricane of 1912 when the sea rushed inland for half a mile.
Great George Strait was almost like a waterway.
Yes, leaving a schooner in the middle of Great George Strait.
Yeah, my grandmother told me about that, actually.
That's the same year my mother was born.
That was probably the year your mother was born, But
isn't that something?
Yeah, she told me about people going up Great George Street in canoes.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
I mean,
looking at the history of Jamaica as we went along, there were, I didn't realize there were you know, they started to record these things right down, you know. Lots of hurricanes that, as we would say, mash up the place.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And earthquakes as well. Earthquakes as well. We know of the big ones, but there were a lot of equally destructive small ones.
Yeah.
No, they say here that parts of the town of that date remains underwater. There was a hurricane again before that in 1780. There was a very bad hurricane hitting the Sablamar area. And they say parts of the town is still underwater. I just was thinking, you know, that how hard times must have been, you know, not you having a baby and there all of this going on. I don't know what month. It doesn't have a lot of details as to exactly when the hurricane was.
Yeah.
But that was the same year my mother was born. Anyway, there's some information here about the Sablamar Parish Church, which I know that. Isn't that where Aunt Icy went, and Aunt Lola?
Yes, they were all in the choir there, and it was destroyed by fire sometime.
Built in 1904, they say here.
Know that my grandfather was involved in, you know, along with others in the rebuilding.
Right.
You know, and so that's where we worshipped it. Just a beautiful, beautiful old house, old church.
Was it an Anglican church?
Yeah. It was the Anglican church on Great George Street. You know, but it's got to be one of the older churches in the island.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly built after the sort of English style of churches.
Yes.
And and I gather that they've had some recent problems with it, and they've had to be doing some rebuilding. I'm not sure, you know.
You mean currently?
Recently. You know, I don't know whether within the last few years or so they've
there's
been some destruction. I'm not sure whether it was caused by a hurricane or what, but I think that they were
could
sort
be
of,
just from aging.
Yeah.
Anyway, we now know why perhaps Great George Street was so well built and all of that, because it had a lot to do with the pier. You know, the ships coming in, and the sugar being loaded there.
Yeah.
So I think that particular town or that area got perhaps some more attention or got things that they didn't have at other ports. But it's interesting here, you talk about mismanagement. There is a report here that says, talking about the remains of Fort George can be seen at the end of Great George Street. We know that. I used to play there. In 1755, when the admiral inspected this fort, he pronounced it the very worst in the island. Although the inhabitants had laid out a vast sum of money for defense, the fort had never been finished, and one-third had already collapsed into the sea.
Yeah.
On the west side of the fort is the West Indian Sugar Company Pier, from which sugar from the central factory at Frome is loaded into lighters for transporting to the ships anchored offshore.
The
pier is used mostly in the crop season from January to June. Well, that brings me to the fact that I remember when I came to the States in 1959, and I was talking about to someone about my Uncle Frank being a pilot, and you know, it might have been in Kingston, I was in somewhere. I can't remember when it was, but I remember them saying, the people saying, pilot? I mean, in St. Lamar? I mean, what is he flying? And I said, well, no, he's not flying. And they didn't realize that a lot of people, even in Kingston, don't realize that because of the coral reefs, the ships, the big ships, had to be piloted into where they anchor.
Right.
Because, and that's how the sea pilots came in.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just a few of them that were in Jamaica, because there's only a few ports that had to happen. I suppose they had to anchor way out, depending on the size.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember that distinctly, and because he was a sea pilot, we always had a chance to, you know, see the boats, go on the boats, because, of course, he's friendly with the captains and all of that. So it was just a wonderful experience for me growing up, and I was exposed to just so many different, you know, the different ethnic backgrounds with the Indians and the Jose. Carol, do you remember the Jose celebration?
Oh yes. I think of a lot of the Indians who were there were Hindus.
Uh-huh.
And I think they had this procession. I mean, I can't remember what time of the year, but it seemed to me to have been in the summer, certainly in the summer
August,
holidays,
actually,
where they would, you know, have these floats which would go right down, and they would go down Great George Street, and then it was put out into the sea. And I think what happens in Hinduism, people are cremated, they're not buried, and normally if they were in India, the ashes would be scattered on the Ganges.
Uh-huh.
They do what's called a pyre. and they they put a flame to the body, and as you say, to us now we call it cremating.
Yeah, and so the ashes, I guess, putting it out at the port was sort of substituting for the Ganges, because they were rather far from the Ganges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is very interesting. But do you know, it's interesting, in this encyclopedia, it also says that the hurricane of 1780 was predicted by a slave bandit named Plato.
Yeah,
who terrorized travelers on the highway between Westmoreland and St. James. But he must have been
a roadblock.
Yeah. but it's interesting how everything that we enjoyed when we were growing up and didn't know how it happened, you know, had a connection in some way to some historical things long ago. Because that area was quite developed, even with roads. Because the Spanish did it when they connected, when, you know, Bluefields was important to them, and they had a clear path from one of their big cities to another big city.
Yeah.
And that's why there was so much development in that area.
Yeah.
That was different to other parts, to the other parishes, is my point.
Yeah. And then, of course, the sugar estates, because of the plains of Westmoreland, you know, it was a great place for growing sugar.
Right, right.
And, you know, I
think savannas.
Yeah, Well, I was told that it meant really grassland by the sea. That was my understanding as a child. That's Savannah Lamar. This is what.
That's correct.
Yes, that's how it's spelled. Savannah Lamar.
Yeah.
But we lovingly call people from Sav Lamar. We call it Sav.
Yeah, we call it Sav, and we're Westmoreites, you see.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
You know that part, Westmoreites. Yes,
I never heard that one before.
You haven't.
But I didn't either. Can't remember. But, Carol, did you know that it is the most, it was named because it's the most westerly part of the island?
Well, again, as children, we figured, or we were told that when they discovered the island, someone said, "Oh, in the west there is more land." And so
that was
as a child, that was my understanding of how the name came about.
Westmoreland.
Well, it's possible because every other parish so far was named after some noble person or noted person, you know, governor.
Yeah.
But there is
I think among British aristocracy, I think there is a pair or something who was Westmoreland.
Well, we just have a few more minutes left. I don't know where the time goes by. We are just always having so much fun finding all these little nuggets of information. I hope that our listeners have found the island tour as interesting as I've found it, just by doing my research and finding out all these little tidbits, what happened there and here and why this is so, and, oh, it has just been rather fascinating. Mr. Lay, loyal listener from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, do you have, I don't know if any of our listeners have any comments about our island tour. We're coming to an end. It's a wind down.
Well, I would just like to say congratulations, Margaret, because, and your co-host, Donna, for hosting this backyard labrish. I found it very informative and very enlightening to tour
Thank
around
you.
The island. Yeah. And
but it's
I,
just been my pleasure.
Yeah.
And I must tell my listeners that I think that it has rejuvenated me, and I get so excited when I, in the research, I find something that connects, you know, something that I know or I experienced, because...
And you should also congratulate the folks like Carol here who...
Yes, I'm about to do that.
Yeah.
Carol, I really appreciate you coming on board with us tonight, and I want you to... I know you're helping to spread the word of what we're doing here in the backyard, and I want to... I really thank all my listeners. The board is full of listeners. So wherever you're calling from and listening, We appreciate you spending some time with us here. I have a 516, a 646, another 646, 905. People from all over the place have dialed in, and we have some people listening online. I'm sorry I'm not able to interact with you, but anytime you feel like, you can just grab the phone and dial in at 718-766-4558.
Is that every Wednesday?
Beg your pardon?
Is that every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we're here lavishing about something. And it's, to me, the history has been so fascinating.
Donner is going to bring our white rum the next time, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was thinking that next week to appease Donna and give her a better taste and flavor, we would do, you know, the origination of the liquors and the rum and that kind of thing. What do you think of that, Donna?
Oh, my goodness. People are going to think that your co-host is an alcoholic or something.
Oh, no. You're just curious.
You just like the white rum, Donna.
Well, I just want to say, you know, to everyone, to make sure to go to backyardlabrish.com and, you know, be sure to leave a little footprint of yourself that you were here and that you, you know, share some information with us or share photos or share some sayings, you know, like, what was that, sea bathing or?
Oh, yeah, taking a sea bath.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to share with everyone that maybe doesn't know it, that Bob Dylan actually talks about Saab Lamar in his song Sarah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
I saw that too,
yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was neat. And so I'm going to kind of say it really quick, Sleeping in the Woods by a Fire in the Night, and, of course, Drinking White Rum in a Portugal Bar. Then playing Leapfrog and hearing about Snow White, you in the marketplace, and Savannah Lamar.
All right. Yes. Well, Carol, thank you for joining us. I think she must have hung up.
Yeah.
But it was just been a wonderful time for me. I've really enjoyed it. Donna, I really appreciate your input and your interest in our fantastic island, and I know that when I take you there, you're going to have so much fun.
Okay.
And
hey,
my loyal listener from the Bronx.
Yeah, well, let's go to Jehe.
Yeah, I'm thinking that when we have more support from our listeners, we'll perhaps plan a backyard trip. How about that? A backyard
laboratory
trip.
Yeah.
And we can all get together and have some fun. So if you think that's a good idea, go to our website and, you know, send us a little note or something and let us know. But we hope you'll join us again next week. And watch your email if you're on our list. And please pass the email on to some of your friends that might not be on our list and ask their permission if we can add them to our list. And we'd certainly love to have the word spread about what we're doing. It's not everybody that's interested in this kind of information. There's a lot of interesting Jamaican websites out there. We are sort of dedicated to celebrating our history and talking about the days that we grew up in before independence. Because a lot of information is online now about what's the now Jamaica. We just wanted to have some input on the Jamaica that was. So thanks again for listening, and good night. See you next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Have a great week, you all.